Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Maseches Yoma has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shmuley Katz, Le'ilei Nishmas, Mar Ishana Labas, Reb Shraga Fleischman, and Reb Shimon ben Reb David.
Yuma daf nun beis. The Gemara on the Nalef Amid beis brought a machlikis tanoim about the path that the Kohen Gadol walked when he went through the Heichal to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The shita of Remeir is that the Kohen Gadol walked bein Shulchan l'Mizbeach. The Shulchan was towards the Tzofen side of the Heichal, and he walked between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, in other words, closer to the Tzofen side of the Heichal, and from there he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Gemara explains that Remeir holds like the shita of Reb Yosi, that there was only one Pereiches, and it was open on the Tzofen side. That's the reason why he walked closer to the Tzofen side of the Heichal. And the Gemara continues, why does Remeir not hold like Reb Yosi himself? Reb Yosi himself holds that the Kohen Gadol walks bein Shulchan leKaisel, even further to the Tzofen, between the Tzofen wall of the Heichal and the Shulchan. And the Gemara gives two terutzin. The first terutz the Gemara says is that he holds that the Shulchanis were mafsik, the Shulchanis were in the Tzofen side and they blocked the path. The second terutz the Gemara says is that really there was room to walk there. However, lav erech ara lemeilu lehedya. Remeir holds it was not derech eretz to walk along the Tzofen wall. Rashi explains in the top Rashi diber maschel lemeil lehedya. Rashi says leilech eitzel akoysel atzveini kol erech haheichel, to walk along the Tzofen wall as he's walking through the Heichal. Bechol shah einav nizoyna yis mi beis kodesh hakadoshim derech haprifa shekinegdoi. The whole time he's looking inside to the kodesh hakadoshim through the prifa, the fold in the Pereiches that was open on the Tzofen side. This Rashi fits very well with Rashi later on in Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah over there says, Hachitzayna Hoysa Prufa, the outer Pereiches was folded over min Hadarim, and Rashi explains, what does Prufa mean? Reisha Kefula Letad Chutz, was folded outward, v'ne'echezes bekeres shel zohav liyos psucha v'imedes. It was held open with a golden hook. Rashi holds that it was always open. That's what prufa means, and therefore Rashi here as well understands that the Kohen Gadol, if he's walking along the Tzofen side, according to the Shita, that it was open on the Tzofen side, so he would be able to see through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim through this prufa. However, the Tosfos Rid on the Beis Amud Beis, he argues on Rashi, and he translates prufa differently. He quotes Rashi and he says, "Ein ze derech tznius liyos haPesach pasuach." He says it's not mistaber that it was held open, that everyone can see through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore he translates the word prufa differently, and he says that the higher section of the Pereiches was attached very well to the wall of the Heichal. However, the lower section, the part that had to be lifted up in order that the Kohen Gadol should go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that was attached loosely with loops that were on the Pereiches that closed onto the hooks against the wall, and that was easily opened by the Kohen Gadol when he had to go lifnayu lifnim. So prufa does not mean that it was always held open, rather that it was easily opened by slipping the loops off of the hooks. And then the Tosfos Rid continues, and he quotes our Gemara. He says, that which the Gemara says, lav oirech ara lemeil lehedya, he says it does not mean like Rashi, that the Kohen Gadol could see through the whole time as he's walking along the wall. Rather, it means to say it's lav oirech ara that he should be walking kineged the Pesach. He says, Shema yotzitz bein ha-pareiches lekoisel. Perhaps as he's walking along, he might peek inside between the pareiches and the koisel. So it doesn't mean that it was totally open. Rather, it means it's not derech eretz that he should be walking along an area which he possibly can peek through. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, what does Reb Yosi himself hold? Reb Yosi, who holds that the Kohen Gadol did walk along the Tzofen wall of the Heichal, what does he hold? The Gemara says, Chaviv in Yisrael, shelo yitzrichen hakosov l'shliach, he holds it's not a problem for him to walk along the Tzofen wall, even though he's facing towards the Pesach. It's not a problem of derech eretz, because we find that Klal Yisrael is so chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they do not need a shliach. Now what does this mean, that they do not need a shliach? There's a few mahalchim in this line of the Gemara. Rashi explains, Dibar Maschel Amr Lucha Chaviv in Yisrael. Rashi says, El kol echad ve echad mispalel al atzmai. Everyone in Klal Yisrael could be mispalel for himself. He does not need a shliach to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for him. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Melachim, Shenemar asher yidun ish nega levovoy uparas kapov el abayis hazeh. Everyone in Klal Yisrael could be mispata Kadosh Baruch Hu directly. They do not need a shliach. Now the Tosfos Rishonim, as well as the Tosfos Arosh, they ask on Rashi that this does not prove the chavivus of Klal Yisrael. The fact that they could daven in the Mokam HaMikdash on their own without a shliach, that's not a raya, because the psukim later on in the same parak refers to a goy as well, and it says over there, "Valsisa kechol asher yikra eilecho hanochri." HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer the tefillos of a goy as well. And therefore, this is not a raya to the special chavivus to Klal Yisrael. The Ritva asks this kasha as well, and he's Moisef, he adds, he says that anyways, how is this a raya to the chavivus of the Kohen Gadol going lefnai ulefnim, the fact that Klal Yisrael could be mispalal, what does one have to do with the other? And therefore, the Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Chananel, who learns a different pshat, what exactly is this chavivus that Klal Yisrael does not need a shliach? And Rabbeinu Chananel explains that we're referring specifically to Yom HaKippurim, that the rest of the year, the din was that a Kohen Gadol wore the Shmeina Begadim. On the Me'il, it had the Pa'amoyne Yizohav V'rimoyne, as the Pasuk says, V'nishma Koylai Bevoi Ala Kodesh. The reason why he had these bells is that there should be an announcement. The Kohen Gadol should not come into the Heichal without announcing his arrival, and the bells served as a shliach to inform that the Kohen Gadol was about to arrive. However, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went lefnai ulefnim with the Big Day Lovon. The Big Day Lovon did not have any bells. There was no announcement that the Kohen Gadol was coming. This shows a special chavivus that Klal Yisrael does not need a shliach before the Kohen Gadol comes in. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, since there was such chavivus to Klal Yisrael, and therefore the Kohen Gadol could walk directly in, he did not have to worry about lav oirech ara lemeil lehedya. Now Rashi, who does not learn this pshat of the Rishonim, fits very well with what Rashi learns earlier on in Daf Mem Daud Amud Beis. The Gemara over there is referring to the differences between the machta that was used on Yom Kippur to the machta that was used all year long. And the Braisa says one difference was, b'chol yoyim lo hoyu lo niyashtik, v'hayoyim hoyu lo niyashtik. The machta on Yom Kippur had something called niyashtik. What is this niyashtik? Rashi explains it was a tabas, a ring, shemikashkesh. It jingled. Rashi over there quotes the pasuk which says that the Kohen Gadol should be heard when he's coming lefnai ulefnim. It would seem that this niyashtik is instead of the bells which the Kohen Gadol had on his Shmeina Begadim, on Yom Kippur when he did not have those Shmeina Begadim, so this niyashtik served the purpose of announcing the Kohen Gadol's arrival. The Rishonim over there, Tosfos as well as the Tosfos Rishonim, they quote a Riva and a Yerushalmi as well, that niyashtik was a nartik, it was a pouch that was put over the handle of the machta, so that it would not be too hot for the Kohen Gadol to carry. And the Yerushalmi discusses, why is it not a problem of a chatzitza? It's a separation between the hand of the Kohen Gadol and the kli that he's holding. So according to the Rishonim, there was no tabas, like Rashi learns. There was nothing that made a noise which to announce the arrival of the Kohen Gadol. That would fit well with Rishonim and Ersugyo, who learned that the chavivus was that the Kohen Gadol did not need to be announced. Rabbeinu Chananel as well over there learns niyashtik like the Riva, and therefore Rabbeinu Chananel fits well with how he learns over here that there was nothing announcing the arrival of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Rashi, on the other hand, cannot learn like that because Rashi holds that even though there was no bells, there was something else which served the same purpose to announce the arrival of the Kohen Gadol. Now there's a third pshat, and what does it mean, Chaviv in Yisrael, shelo yitzrichen hakosov l'shliach? The Chasam Sefer, it's printed later on in Daf Nun Ches, quotes Rashi, and he says Rashi's pshat is difficult to understand, and he says differently, he says, Chaviv in Yisrael, shelo yitzrichen hakosov l'shliach, Gemara is referring to the sugya earlier on in Daf Yud Tes, which discusses if the Kehanim are shluchei d'rachmono or shluchei didan. The maskana of the Gemara is that they're shluchei d'rachmono. And the Chasam Sefer explains that Bishlamo, if the Kehanim were Shluchei Didan, that it wouldn't be Derech Eretz for the Shliach, who's being sent by Klal Yisrael, to walk straight in. Rather, it's more Derech Eretz to take a roundabout route between the Shochan and the Mizbeach. But since Klal Yisrael is Chaviv, then they don't need a Shliach, and the Kehanim are Shluchei Derachmona, not Shluchei Didan, so they're being sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the Avodah, then they could walk straight in. That's not a problem of Derech Eretz. Now the Gemara continues and discusses what does Rabbi Yehuda hold. Rabbi Yehuda's shita was that the Kohen Gadol went Bein hamizbeach l'menorah, closer to the Durim side of the Heichal, like the Gemara said earlier on Daf Nun Aleph from Midbeis, that Rabbi Yehuda is like the Shita that there were two Pareichas, and the outer Pareichas was open on the Durim side, and therefore he had to walk closer to the Durim side. However, the Gemara now asks, why can't he go Bein Menorah l'Kaisel? Why can't he go all the way to the Durim, close to the Durim wall? And the Gemara answers, Mishchari Manye. His clothes could get dirty, could get blackened, since the wall near the menorah was blackened from the smoke of the menorah. If the Kohen Gadol will brush against the wall, then his clothes will get blackened. Now the Tosis Hashanim over here, in Dibur Maschil Nail Bein HaMenorah LeKaisel, he's bothered by why can't the Gemara give the same reason that the Gemara says earlier in the Shita of Remeir, that Lav Ayrech Ara LeMeir LeHedya. We could say according to Behuda as well, we don't want him to walk along the Durim wall with the Pesach of the Pareiches open in front of him. And the Tosis Hashanim gives two terutzim. First he says that Einech Hanami, the Gemara could have said this, however the Gemara wanted to say a Mahalach in Rabbi Yehuda, which would fit, even according to Rabbi Yaisi. Even according to Rabbi Yaisi, that Chaviv in Yisrael, he's not concerned of Lav Ayrech Ara, the Gemara still has another way of explaining Rabbi Yehuda. Inami, or he says, no, this Teretz would not work according to Rabbi Yehuda, because this Teretz is only according to Rabbi Meir, where there was only one Pareiches. We don't want him to walk along the Tzofen side. Since the Tzofen Pareichas was open, he could see straight through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there were two Pareichas, even if he sees through the Darim side of the outer Pareichas, still the other Pareichas is blocking his view of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it would seem to be that the second Teretz of the Tosis Hashanim is an obvious answer. There's another inner Pareichas which blocks his view. Surely if you learn like Rashi who explained the Lav Ayrech Ara, that he could see straight through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so this surely does not apply over here if there were two Pareiches. But even according to the Tosis read that we quoted, he understood that it's not really open, the Prefer does not mean that it's totally open, but he also explained that if the Kohen Gadol is walking along the wall, he can peek through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's only if there's one Pareiches, like the Tosis read explained, that wasn't closed so well. However, if there's two Pareiches, and he's walking along the Durim side, so even if he could peek through the outer Pareiches, but the inner Pareiches, which was closed very tightly on the Durim side, he won't be able to see through there. So the second Teretz, L'chair, is a Pasha Teretz, and we have to understand what are the Tosis Hashanim hold in his Kasha and the first Teretz. And the Tosis Rosh actually asks this Kasha, and he only says the second Teretz. It would seem he also holds that this is a Pasha Teretz, and we do not need to look for another answer. So perhaps we could explain this based on the Tzlach. The Tzlach actually asks Akasha on the second Teretz of the Tosis Hashanim that what does it help if there's still an inner Pareiches, but since the Amo, which was between the two Pareiches, perhaps had a Kedusha of Kodesh HaKadoshim, so if he's walking along the Darm side and he could see through the Pesach into the one Amo, which was between the two Pareiches, so he actually could look inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim as he's walking along. And with this we could explain, this is what the Tosis Hashanim understood in his first Teretz, that even though Einech Hanami he won't be able to see all the way through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but he'll be able to see that one Amo, perhaps the Tosis Hashanim understood in his first Teretz that that's also a problem. That also is not Derech Eretz, that's considered looking inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in the second Teretz he was Mechadish, that the inner Pareiches blocks his view from the rest of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and even though he could see that one Amo, that's not a problem of Lav Ayrech Aro, as long as he's not able to see into the main part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Oren was, where the Kaporis was, where the Shechinah rested, as long as he's not able to see into there, that's not a problem of Lav Ayrech Aro. Now perhaps we can add somewhat of a raya to this Kasha of the Tzlach, that even seeing this one Amo of Kodesh HaKadoshim is also a problem, because the Tosis Rid, which we mentioned earlier on the Mishnah on Amud Beis, he argues on Rashi on how Rashi translated Prufa. Rashi explains it means that it was held open, and he says that it's not Derech Tznius, that it should be totally open and anyone can see inside. Now the truth is that Mishnah is going according to the Shita that there were two Pareiches. So even if the outer Pareiches was open, like Rashi understands, on the Durim side, but still no one could see all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was an inner Pareiches. What does the Tosis Rid mean to say that it's not Derech Tznius, that anyone could see inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? However, according to the Kasha of the Tzlach, it's very good. Lemaisa, there's one Amo of Kodesh HaKadoshim that anyone could see through. That's the reason the Tosis Rid argues on Rashi. And according to what we're explaining now in the Tosis Hashanim, this is actually the Machlokes between the two Tzirutim. Are we concerned about seeing inside this one Amo? Is that a problem of Lav Ayrech Ara? Now the Gemara continues and discusses about the amatraxin. The Gemara explains that there was a suffix about it. And originally the Gemara understood that the suffix was ikilifnim ikilichot, meaning to say, was this amma counted as part of the 40 ammais of the length of the Heichal, or was it counted as part of the 20 ammais, the length of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now the Gemara quotes the Psukim in Melachim. One pasuk says that the bayis asher bona hamelach shleimo la Hashem shishim amma, the length of the whole Heichal together with the Kodesh HaKadoshim was a total of 60 ammais, and it says ve'esrim rochbay u'shleishim ammais kemosai. Then the Gemara brings another pasuk. V'arboim ba'amo hoya habayis hu ha'heichal lefonai u'lefnei hadvir esrim amo irach ve'esrim amo roichav ve'esrim amo kamosai. The pasuk describes that the heichal itself without the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 40 amos in length, and lefnei hadvir the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amos in length. However, we notice that in this second pasuk that the Gemara brings, the height is described as 20 amos. L'chair, this is a stira to the pasuk earlier, which says that the height was 30 amos. This is the kasha that Tosis discusses over here in Dibra Maschel ve'esrim amo koimosli. And there seems to be a stira about the height. Was it 20 amos high or 30 amos high? And Tosis quotes Rashi in Melachim that gives the teretz that the pasuk that says it was 30 amos high, that's in the area of the Heichal. The pasuk that says that it was 20 amos high, that was by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Like Rashi in Melachim says that the aliyah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was lower than the Heichal. There was an attic which took away from the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, Tosis asks on Rashi that there's actually a Gemara in Baba Basra which asks this kasha. The Gemara asks the stira in the Psukim, and the Gemara gives a different teretz. The Gemara says that the pasuk which says that it was Esrim Amo Koimosai, that's Misfas Kruvim Ulamala. That's counting from the top of the Kruvim. The Kruvim stood on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they were 10 amris high. So from the top of the Kruvim until the ceiling, that was 20 amris high. So Tosis is bothered, why does Rashi give his own teretz if the Gemara in Baba Basra gives a different teretz? Now there's a beautiful teretz from the Gaon in his Pirish on the Mishnayis in Baba Basra to answer this kasha on Rashi. It's in Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalid. The Mishnayis over there are talking about someone who's mekabel mechaveri livnois loy bayis. If someone accepted the job to build a house for someone else and they did not make up beforehand the measurements of the house, so what is the minimum size that he has to build? And the Mishnah explains what happens if they use the Lashon of Bayis. What are the minimum measurements for something to be considered a Bayis? What about if they said Bayis Katon, or if they said Bayis Godol, or if they said Traklin? All these the Mishnah explains what are the minimum measurements required. And then the Mishnah continues, how high does it have to be built? What is the measurement of the height? It says, Rumoi kechatzi arkoi vechatzi rochboi. The normal height of any structure is half of the measurement of the length plus half the measurement of the width. So if the bayis has to be 8 by 10, so half of 8 is 4, half of 10 is 5, then together the height would have to be a total of 9 amos. And the Mishnah says, Raya l'dovar heichal. The raya to this is the heichal. The heichal was 40 amos long and 20 amos wide, and it was 30 amos high. This is how the Bar Tanura explains the Mishnah, that we're proving from the Heichal, which was 40 amos long, so half of that is 20, and it was 20 amos wide, half of that is 10. So 20 and 10 together make 30, so just like in the Heichal, that was the height, it was Rumay, Chatzi Orkli, V'chatzi Rachbay, so in any structure as well, the height is supposed to be half of the length plus the width. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel over there, he argues on the Tanakhama, and he says that there's no such din, we do not learn from the Heichal. Now the Gaon over there in the Mishnayis asks, how can we prove anything from the Heichal? Dilma Maisa Shehoya Kach Hoya. Just because that's the way the Heichal was built, is that a right that it has to be that way? Is it a right that this is the standard size for all structures? So the Gaon explains that the right is like this. He says we find that the Bayis Sheni was basically identical to the Bayis Rishon. However, the height was different. The Bayis Rishon, it says that the height was 30 amis high, and the Bayis Sheni was 40 amis high. And furthermore, he points out, what is the pshat that in the Bayis Rishon, the height of the Heichal was 30 amis, and the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amis? And he explains that the pshat is like this, that in the Bayis Rishon, so the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were separate. There was a wall between, the Amatraxin. And therefore the Heichal, which was 40 amis long and 20 amis wide, then the Goiva, the height, had to be 30 amis. Half of 40 plus half of 20 is 30. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was a separate room in the Bayis Rishon, it was 20 by 20. And therefore, using this formula of rumay kechatzi yarkoy vechatzi rachbay, the height would also have to be 20. However, in the Bayis Sheni, where there was no amatraxin, then we looked at the Heichal with the Kodesh HaKadoshim as one big room. It was a room of 60 amos in length, 20 amos in width. And therefore, using this formula, the height would have to be 40 amos. That's the reason that in Bayis Sheni, they made the height 40 amos high to fit with this formula of rumay kechatzi yarkoy vechatzi rachbay. And in the Bayis Sheni, there was no difference in the height of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only in the Bayis Rishon, where the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were different rooms with different sizes, therefore the height had to be different as well. And this is how the Gaon explains the Mishnah. Raila Davar Heichal means that from the Heichal we see clearly that it must be this way. The height has to be Rumay V'chatzi Yarkoy V'chatzi Rachbay. And that's how they knew that in the Bayis Sheni, since they changed the length, they also had to change the height. And the Gaon continues, what does Reb Shimon ben Gamliel hold? He holds that you cannot learn out of the Heichal. The Gaon explains because he held that the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Bayis Rishon was also 30 amos high. And therefore it does not fit with this formula of Rumay Kechatzi Yarkoy Vechatzi Rachbay. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 by 20 and the height was 30 amos high. And with this the Gaon answers Tosis's Kasha on Rashi in Er Sugya. He says the Gemara in Baba Basra, which asked the Stira in the Psukim, there the Gemara is going according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He holds that the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was actually 30 amos high, just like the height of the Heichal, and the Gemara was bothered by the Stira in the Psukim, and that the Gemara answered that the Pasuk that says that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amos high, that was measuring from the top of the Kruvim. However, the Rashi in Melachim, which Tosfos quotes, that says that the height of the Kodesh was actually different than the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he says Rashi fits with the Shita of the Tanakama in the Mishnah in Bava Basra. That Tana says that the Beis HaMikdash was Rumay Kechatzi Yarkoy Vechatzi Rachbay, that's the Makar of the Din. And therefore he obviously understood that the answer to the Stira and the Psukim of Melachim is that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 amos high, that fits with the Klal of Rumay Kechatzi Yarkoy Vechatzi Rachbay, and the height of the Heichal was 30 amos high, that also fits with the measurements of the Heichal, which were 40 by 20. This is where the Tanakhama got his Klal that Rumay Kechatzi Yarkoy Vechatzi Rachbay, like he says, Rai Ladover Heichal, as the Gaon explains. This is the Teretz to the Kasha of Tosfos on Rashi. Rashi is explaining according to the Tanakhama, and the Gemara is explaining according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now there's a Rishash in Sukkah who adds a very important point to this Gaon. In Sukkah Daf Hei Amud Beis, Tosfos over there is similar to Tosfos by us. He asks the Kasha on Rashi in Melachim that it's a Stira to the Gemara in Bava Basra, and the Rishash quotes the Teretz of the Gra. However, he asks on the Gaon that it seems to be a stira to a Mefurish Gemara in Baba Basra Daf Gimel. The Gemara in Baba Basra says the reason why they did not make an amatraxin in Bayis Sheni, rather they made a pereiches, is because a wall which is only one amma wide cannot stand if it's so high, if it's 40 amas high. So in the Bayis Rishon where the height was only 30 amas, they could build a wall one amma wide and it will stand. In the Bayis Sheni, which was 40 amos high, a wall this thickness will not be able to stand. And the Rishash asks on the Gaon that the Gaon made the Mesoiviv into the Siba. He reversed the cause and the effect. The Gemara Baba Basra says the reason why they did not make amatraxin was because the height was 40 amos, and therefore a wall would not stand. The Gaon says the opposite. He says the reason why they had to make it 40 amos was because there was no amatraxin. Since there was no amatraxin, so we looked at it as a length of 60, that was the reason why they had to make the height higher. They had to make it 40 amos. The Gaon seems to be a steer to this Gemara. And the Rishash has a very nice answer. He says that the Gemara in Baba Basra really quotes a pasuk that says, Godol yeh kveid habayis hazeh ha'achrei min harishon. The second Beis HaMikdash had to have been greater, and the Gemara understands this to mean to say that it was higher than the first Beis HaMikdash. This is how they knew that they had to make the second Beis HaMikdash higher. However, the Rishash says they could have made it just a bit higher than the first Beis HaMikdash. Why did they have to make it 40 amos, which is 10 amos higher than the first Beis HaMikdash? On that, the answer is, once they made it higher than 30 amos, then they no longer can make an amatraxin. Like the Gemara Baba Basra says, that a wall that's only one amma cannot stand higher than 30 amos. Therefore, they made a pareiches instead of an amatraxin. However, once there no longer was a wall, then, as the Gaon says, you look at it as if it's one big room of 60 amos, and therefore we have to change the height all the way up to 40 amos. Using the klal of rumay kechatzi yarkoy vechatzi rachbay, you have to add 10 amos. So the reasoning of the Gemara and the reasoning of the Gra fit very well together. The Gemara is telling us that once we had to make it higher than 30 amos, there could not be an amatraxin. The Gain adds, once there was no amatraxin, then we have to raise it a full 10 amos to fit with the klal of Rumei Kechatzi Yorkoi Vechatzi Rochbei. However, there is one ha'ara that the Rishash leaves as a kasha on the Gra, that according to the way the Gemara comes out, l'maskana bayos, really the length of the Heichal together with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if you add the Amma in between, was a total of 61 Amos. The Gemara concludes that the middle Amma was not counted as part of the 40 of the Heichal and not counted as part of the 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And therefore there was a total of 61 Amos. And using the formula of Rumei Kechatzi Yorkoi Vechatzi Rochbei, it should come out that the height of the Beis HaMikdash should have to be 40 and a half Amos. Yeah, now as we just mentioned, the Gemara comes out with Maskono that the Amatraxin, which we said was a Sofik, is not a Sofik whether it's counted as part of the 40 of the Heichal or part of the 20 of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It wasn't counted as either. And when we said before that there was a Sofik about it, whether it had the Kedusha of the Heichal or the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Sofik is not whether it was counted as part of the measurements of the Heichal or the measurements of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rather, the Sofik is, what kind of status did it have? It definitely was not counted as either, but what kind of Kedusha did it have? Did it have the Kedusha of the Heichal or the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Rambam, however, in Perek Daud Hilchos Beis Abchira Halacha Beis, seems to say not like the Maskana of our Gemara. The Rambam says, "Bebayis Rishon Hayakoysol Mavdol Bein Hakodesh Ubein Kodesh HaKadoshim Ov Yoy Amo." V'kivon Shabonu Bayis Sheni Nistapik Luhu Im Ovi Hakoysol Hayam Im Midas Hakodesh Im Midas Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rambam says that in the first Beis HaMikdash there was an Amo Traxin, and when the second Beis HaMikdash came along, they were Mistapik if it was Mimidas HaKodesh, if it was counted as part of the measurements of the Kodesh. Or maybe this Kodesh HaKadoshim was counted as part of the measurements of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Ram continues, Lefikach, since they had a Sofik, also Kodesh HaKadoshim Esrim Amot Mimois. They made the Kodesh HaKadoshim a full 20 Amos. V'asu HaKodesh Arbom Amot Mimois. They also made the Kodesh 40 full Amos. V'inichu Amo Yisera Bein HaKodesh Bein Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Rambam continues, "V'leibonu koisel." They didn't make a koisel, rather they made two pareiches and they left the Amma between the two pareiches. So the Rambam seems to be saying, not like the Maskana of our Gemara, rather the Sofik was it counted as part of the measurements of the Kodesh, or was it counted as part of the measurements of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now the Kesef Mishnah quotes a Yushalmi, who seems to say that this was the Sofik. The Yushalmi says, "Amma traksin ma, mi befnim ay bechutz." What was it? Was it counted as part of the pnim or part of the chutz? And the Kesef Mishnah brings the Hemshech of the Yushalmi, which is also Mashma, that this was the Sofik, whether it was counted as part of the measurements of the Heichal or the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Achrenim seem to say that the Kesef Mishnah was bothered why the Rambam does not paskin like our Gemara, and therefore he quoted the Yushalmi, who had a different explanation in the Sofik, and for some reason, even though generally the Rambam paskins like the Bavli, here he chose to paskin like the Yushalmi. However, there seems to be another problem with the Rambam. And that is, we know that the second Beis HaMikdash had to be identical to the first Beis HaMikdash, like we mentioned before. The only exception was the height. And they were not able to add on to the measurements. The measurements were given over by Kadosh Baruch Hu to David HaMelech before the first Beis HaMikdash. Like the Pasuk says, "Akol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskil," and they were not able to change them. And if so, how could the Rambam say that since there was a Sofik, whether the Amatraxin was supposed to be part of the 40 or part of the 20, so they decided to count it not amongst the 40 and not amongst the 20, rather to add an extra Amma. This Lechair is changing from the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash. The entire Bayis together, the Heichal with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was a total of 60 Amos. And according to the Rambam, the second Beis HaMikdash, they changed it and they made it a total of 61 Amos. How are they allowed to make this change and add an extra Amma? That's one Kasha. An additional Kasha is that the Gemara earlier on Daf Nun Aleph from the Beis says the reason why they made two Pareiches is because they had a Sofik about the status of that one Amma. So they made two Pareiches and they left that Amma between the two Pareiches. Now according to the Rambam, the Sofik that they had by the second Beis HaMikdash was whether the Amma should be counted as part of the 40 or part of the 20. And because of this Sofik, they did not count it as part of either, rather they made a separate Amma in between. Why did they not just make one thin Pareiches and put it right on the border between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they will not have to make two Pareiches? And further, they will not have to add the extra Amma, which we says anyways is problematic. How could they add that extra amma? These are the kashas that seem to be difficult on the Rambam, and I did not see a clear answer, so therefore we'll leave them for now as Tarach Iyun. Now we'll begin now the Mishnah on Amud Beis. The Mishnah describes how the Kohen Gadol went lifnei ulifnim. The Mishnah is assuming that there were two pareiches. The Kohen Gadol entered the outer pareiches through the Dharm side, then he walked between the two pareiches and he came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Tzofen side. And then it says that Haipech Panav Ladarm, he turned towards the south, and he was Mahalech Lesmeilei Ima Pareiches. He walked alongside the Pareiches, with his left to the Pareiches, Achu Megia La'aron. Hegia La'aron, Noisen Es HaMachda Bein Shnei Habadim. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol put down the Machda between the two Badim of the Aron. And that is where he was Machter the Ketores. The Mishnah later on, Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis, when it describes where the Kohen Gadol did the Hazois, Lifnai Lifnim, of the Par and the Sire, it says also, Nichnas L'mokam She'nichnas, V'omad B'mokam She'omad. He stood in the same place where he stood when he brought the Ketores inside. Clearly the Mishnah holds that the Ketores had to be brought right in front of the Aron, and that is where the Kohen Gadol also stood when he did the Hazois from the Par and the Sire. Now the Gversari asks Akasha, where does the Mishnah get this from, that the Ketores had to be brought Bein Abadim right in front of the Aron? Bishlama, the Hazois of the Par and the Sire, the Torah says clearly that your Maza apnei akapayres ulufnei akapayres. Both by the Par and the Sire, the Torah uses that Lashon. But the Torah doesn't say that it has to be brought lifnei hakapayres. All it says is that the Kohen Gadol took the Moloi HaMachto Gachli Eish and the Moloi Chofno of Ketores HaMimdako Vehevi Mebeis LaParoiches. He went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Pasuk says, V'nosan es ha-Ketores ala eish lifnei Hashem. It doesn't say anything about doing it lifnei ha-Kapayres. And since the Torah does not say it has to be done lifnei ha-Kapayres, then he should not be allowed to do it there, and there should be a problem with him doing it there. What is the problem? So he quotes the Megmar in Menachos, Daf Chav Zayin, Amud Beis, Machlokes Tanoim, how to understand the Pasuk in the beginning of Achrei Mois, the Pasuk that says, Al yovai b'chol eis el ha-Kodesh, mi beis la-Paroiches, el pnei ha-Kapayres, Asher al ha'aron v'lo yomus. This is where the Torah says that there's a chi of misa for anyone who goes lifnai lifnim any other time but Yom HaKippurim. And there's machlokes tanoim when exactly he's chayiv misa. How to read the pasuk? The Tanna Kamma reads it al yovei b'chol eisel ha'kodesh, that if you come into the kodesh, meaning the heichal, you're over alav. Mi beis l'paroiches v'al pnei ha'kapayres b'lo yomus, then you're chayiv misa. So a bia rikonis, meaning coming into the heichal for no reason, is over a lav. Coming into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's also a chi of misa. Rabbi Yehuda learns the pasuk differently. He reads it, al yovei b'chol eisel ha-kodesh mi beis l'pareiches. There's a lav if anyone comes either into the Kodesh, or mi beis l'pareiches, meaning comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's over a lav. El pnei ha-kapayres, then v'lo yomos, then you're chi of misa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's only a chi of misa if you come in front of the kapayres. Not anywhere in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is there a chi of misa. Only by standing directly in front of the kapayres, that's when you chayav misa according to Rabbi Yehuda. And if so, the Gversari asks, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that lifnei kapayres is more chomer. It's a different category. Only there's a chi of misa. Anywhere else in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is only a lav. So the Gversari asks, what is the heter for the Kohen Gadol to stand in front of the kapayres to bring the ketores over there? Bishlama, when he brings the dam of the par and the soyer, there the Torah says mefurish that he's supposed to bring it lifnei kapayres. So the Torah is telling us that there's a heter to this iser. But to bring the ketores in front of the kapayres, what is the heter for that? We only see that the Torah was matter to bring the ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the lav of going lifnei lifnim is nidche. But where do we see that the extra iser, the iser which has a chi of misa, of standing in front of the kapayres, where do we see that's nidche, bizman the Kohen Gadol is makter the kapayres? It doesn't say that he has to be makter them in front of the kapayres. It only says that by the dam of the par and the soyer. And furthermore, the Gversari asks, even if you hold like the shita of the Rabbanon, that anywhere lufnai lufnim is equal, there's a chi of misa, equally on anywhere inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and if so, then clearly the Torah is being matter this iser, in order for the Kohen Gadol to be makter the kapayres, but nevertheless, there still should be a problem for the Kohen Gadol to bring the kapayres in front of the kapayres. And he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Lamed Gimel, that says that even when someone has a heter to come into a place which would have been otherwise usur, he only is allowed to come in the minimum amount. He cannot be marbe b'psiyos. He can't take extra steps. The Gemara is talking about a mitzayra who has a special heter to come into the azara in order to do smicha on his carbon. Otherwise he would be usur because he's a mechuster kipurim. And the Gemara says that he cannot take any extra steps. Marbe b'psiyos is usur. And the Gemara reassumes the same thing will be here, even if the Kohen Gadol has a heter to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But since the Torah does not say that he has to be makriv the Ktaris in front of the Kapiris, he should only be allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim the minimum amount and be makriv the Ktaris right when he gets inside, not take any further steps closer to the Kapiris. This is the Gemara Rabbi's Kasha, and he leaves it off with a Tzarech Iyun. Now there are a number of answers that the Achronim give. What is the Makar to this din of the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be makter the Ktaris in front of the Kapiris? The Brisker Rav in his Kuntris on Yuma, he quotes the Rambam in Perek Al Filchas Avodas Yom Kippurim Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, "Mipi Hashmua Lomnu Chachamim She'ein Noisin Akteres Elo BeKodesh Hakadoshim Lifnei Ha'arin She'nemar V'Nasat Es Akteres Alo Eish Lifnei Hashem." The Brisker Rav understands that the Rambam is telling us that Mipi Hashmua Lomnu Chachamim, they had a Mesira to learn this drasha, that the Ktaris has to be lifnei ulifnim, and that it also has to be lifnei ha'arin. And the Brisker Rav explains what exactly is the drasha. He says, because there is one pasuk that already says that the Kohen Gadol takes the Meloi HaMachta of Gachleyesh, and the Meloi Chofna of Ktaris Samim, v'hevi mebeis l'pareiches. He goes lifnei ulifnim. Then the pasuk says, v'nosarta es ha'kateres, ala eish lifnei Hashem. What does the second pasuk have to tell us lifnei Hashem? It must mean that it has to be done dafka lifnei ha'orin. That's what lifnei Hashem is coming to tell us. This is the way the Brisker Rav understands the Rambam, and this is how he explains the Mishnah, what is the makar that the Ktaris has to be brought in front of the Kapiris. However, the Brisker Rav would seem to be very difficult to understand, because if you look again at this Rambam, the Rambam is quoting the Gemara later on in Daf Nun Gimel, which explains the machlokes that the Chachamim had with the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim understood the Psukim that you're supposed to be makter the Ktaris on the Machta outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kohen Gadol walks inside after there already is an Anat HaKtaris coming from the Machta. However, the Chachamim argue, and in that the Rambam quotes, Mipri HaShmua Lomdu, the Chachamim understood, She'ein Noisin HaKtaris El BeKodesh HaKadoshim, Lefnei Ha'arin, She'nemem V'nasatas HaKtaris Al Eish Lefnei Hashem. Pashas the Rambam is coming to tell us, where do the Chachamim know that you're supposed to put the Ktaris onto the Machta, not outside, rather after he already gets the Lifnei Lifnim, from this pasuk that says, V'nasat es HaKtaris, Ala Eish, Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem is telling us that he puts the Ktaris on the Machta, only Lifnei Hashem after he's inside. And if so, what does the Brisker Rav mean to explain that Lifnei Hashem is coming to tell us that it's Dafka Lifnei Ha'arin? L'chair, the pashas of the Rambam is to tell us, not like the Tzedukim, rather V'nasat es HaKtaris al Eish Lifnei Hashem, you should only put the Ktaris on the fire after he already is Lifnei Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But where do you see the Lifnei Hashem means in front of the Arin? The Lifnei Hashem is coming to tell us the Ikar Din, that you have to be Makdir at Lifnim and not Bechutz. Now in the Sefer Mishmar HaLevi, from Rav Moshe Motcha Schlusinger Zitzal, on Maseches Yuma, he asks this kasha on the Brisker Rav. And he says that obviously the Brisker Rav learned a different pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Nun Gimel, which says that the Raya, that the Chachamim told the Tzedukim from the pasuk of Inasata Sakteres Ala Eish Lifnei Hashem, the Gemara does not mean to say that from the words Lifnei Hashem, we see that the Ktaris was only put on the Eish after he got Lifnei Lifnim. And he adds that really we find the Lashon of Lifnei Hashem, which does not mean in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It could mean by the Pesach of the Ohel Moed. What is the Raya from this pasuk that Lifnei Hashem means in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? How did the Chachamim show from here, not like the Tzedukim? And he says that you have to explain the Gemara that the Chacham meant to say that there already is a pasuk earlier that says that you take the Machta and the Ktaris, v'hevi mebeis l'pareiches. The pasuk says clearly that you bring the Machta and the Ktaris inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the pasuk has not yet said to put it on the Eish. And then the next pasuk says, v'nosata sektaris ala Eish. From this alone is already a Raya like the Chacham, not like the Tzedukim. The pasuk only says to put the Ktaris on the Eish after it already says behaving your base l'pareiches. And therefore the Brisker Rav understood that the next words of the pasuk says v'nasatas Ktaris al Eish lifnei Hashem. What is lifnei Hashem coming to tell us? That's what the Rambam means, that not only are you supposed to put the Keteris on the Eish inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's from the first words of the Pasuk, V'nasatas HaKeteris ala Eish, but we also see Lefnei Hashem, the extra words of Lefnei Hashem tell us that it has to be Dafka in front of the Aron. So this Biskarov is one Teretz to the Kasha of the Gvuras Ari, where the Mishnah gets this from, that you have to be Makter the Keteris in front of the Aron. Now in the Sefer Mishmar Levi in Zvochim, Simon Ayin Aleph, he has another Teretz to this Kasha. He quotes the Ramban ala Torah in Pashas Kisisa. The Pesukim over there are talking about the Keteris, how they were made, and the Pasuk says, V'shachakto mimeno hodeik, v'nosato mimeno lefnei ha'edus ba'oyel moyed. And the Ramban explains that this Pasuk is telling us the different times that were makter the Keteris. V'nosato mimeno lefnei ha'edus, the Ramban explains, that's referring to the Keteris that we bring lefnei ulefnim once a year on Yom Kippur. And ba'oyel moyed, that's referring to the daily Keteris, which was brought in the oyel moyed. And the Mishmar Levi says that according to this Ramban, we have a makar that the Keteris on Yom Kippur has to be brought right in front of the Aron. The words of the Pasuk that says, V'nasato mimenu lefnei ha'edos, according to the Ramban, that's referring to the Keteris lefnei ulefnim, and lefnei ha'edos means in front of the Aron. This is the makar of the Mishnah and the Rambam, that the Keteris has to be brought right in front of the Aron. Now a third mahalach is brought b'shem the Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. He also says that there's a makar that the Keteris has to be brought right in front of the Aron. And he quotes the pasuk that says, V'nosato es ha-Keteris ala eish lefnei Hashem, v'chiso anan ha-Keteris es ha-Kapeiris asher ala eidus. And he explains that from the words of the pasuk, v'chiso anan ha-Keteris es ha-Kapeiris, that after we're makter the Keteris, it covers the Kapeiris, that he says is mashma, that the Keteris is supposed to be brought right in front of the Aron. And by this, immediately after it's hukdar, it will already cover the kapiris. This, he says, is the makar that you have to be makter the Keteris right in front of the Aron, so that immediately it will cover the kapiris. Now the Mishnah continues, Tzavaras ha-Keteris al-gabi gecholim, v'nismale kol abayis kulei oshon, yotzu uboloi derech nisosei. The Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol puts the Keteris on top of the gecholim, and the entire room is filled with oshon, and then he goes out the same way he came in, meaning backwards. Now the Cheshik Shlema on the Mishnah is bothered, why does the Tana have to tell us, Nismale habayis kulei oshon? What is that negeya lahalocha, that which the smoke will eventually spread through the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim? And he quotes a Rambam, in Perek Davar Avodas Yom HaKippurim Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, after the Kohen Gadol puts the Keteris onto the Gecholim, Umamtin Shom Ad Sheyismale Habayis Oshon. The Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol has to wait there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim until the room is filled with the Oshon of the Keteris, and only then can he go out. And this, the Cheshek Shlema understands, is what the Mishnah is coming to tell us as well. The Mishnah that says, V'nismale Kol Habayis Kulei Oshon, and then afterwards it says, Yotza. The Mishnah is coming to tell us that there's a din, that Kohen Gadol must stay inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim until it's Nismale Kulei Oshon. Now what is the pshat in this din? Why does the Kohen Gadol have to stay inside the whole time? So the Brisk Rav has a letter about this inyan. It's printed in the back of the Chedushei Agriz al Rambam, page Ayin Zayin, and he's responding to a letter that he received from his nephew, Rav Yosher Ber Salavechik. Rav Yosher Ber wanted to explain this Rambam, that we find that there's a difference between the Keteris on Yom Kippur and the Keteris the rest of the year. The Keteris all year long, the actual Maisa HaKetorah, that was the Avodah, but the Knisa and the Yitziyah, the Kohen who had to go inside the Heichal in order to be Makter on the Mizbeach HaZov, that was not part of the Avodah, and the Yitziyah as well, when he left, it wasn't part of the Avodah. It's just an issue of practicality that in order for him to be Makter on the Mizbeach HaZov, he has to walk inside the Heichal. Masha'inkein, the Keteris and Yom Kippur, there are rayas that the Knisa, the Kohen Gadol going lefnai ulefnim, as well as the Yitziyah, it wasn't just the Heicha Timtso that practically it had to be done, rather it was a din, it was part of the Avodah. One place we see this difference is that on Yom Kippur, the din was that no one else was allowed to be inside the Heichal from when the time of the Kohen Gadol went inside to be makter the Keteris until he left. It wasn't only at the actual time of the Akhtara, from the Knesset until the Yitziyah, everyone had to be Pirish from the Heichal. Whereas the Keteris, all year long, even though no one was allowed to be in the Heichal at the time the Keteris was brought, But it was only Asr during the actual Akhtara, not from when the time the Kohen went inside the Heichal until he left. And this he explains is the difference, because the Knisa and the Yetziah throughout the year, that was only a Heicha Timtza. Practically speaking, he had to go inside in order to be Makter on the Mizbeach. Whereas Yom Kippur, the Knisa and the Yetziah, that was a din, it was part of the Seder Avodah, it wasn't just an issue of practicality. And with this he explains the difference also about how long the Kohen Gadol has to stay inside on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, like we mentioned, the Rambam says he has to stay inside until the Bayis was Nismala Oshon. Whereas all year long, as soon as he's Makter the Keteris, immediately he could leave, there's no din how long he has to stay inside. And he explains like this, that throughout the year, the actual Avodah is only the Maisa Akhtara. And therefore, the moment he finishes the Maisa Akhtara, he could leave. But Yom Kippur, it wasn't only the actual Avodah of being Makter the Keteris, but there was a din that he had to go inside, he had to have a Knisa, and afterwards he had to do a Maisa Yetziah. It wasn't just that practically speaking he had to get out. The Yetziah itself was part of the Seder Avodah. And therefore he says that even though when the Kohen Gadol put the Keteris onto the Machta, so he immediately finishes his Avodah of being Makter the Keteris, but nevertheless, it's not yet time for the Yetziah. The Torah describes that there has to be a Knisa, and there has to be a Yetziah, but beyond that, there also has to be a Shehiyah, there has to be a certain amount of time that he has to stay inside. And since the Pasuk tells us, V'chisa anan Keteris es HaKaperes, that's the way the Torah tells us that the time for the Kohen Gadol to leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim has not come until the Oshon has covered the Kapayrus. So in other words, the reason the Kohen Gadol has to stay inside until it's Nismal HaBayis Oshon is not Mikoyach the Avodah, it's not because the Avodah's HaKadosh is not done, it is done immediately when he puts the Kadosh onto the Machta. Rather, it's a din stay there when the Yetziah is supposed to be. The Torah describes a Knisa, the Torah describes how long he's supposed to stay there, and then the Torah describes when he's supposed to leave. This is Rabbi Yoshe Breyer's explanation in the Rambam, and why there's a chilik between the Keteris all year long and the Keteris on Yom Kippur. Now the Brisk Rav is responding to this letter, and he writes a different mahaloch, what is the pshat, why the Kohen Gadol has to stay bifnim until it's Nesmala Oshon. And he says that even though the Kohen Gadol has finished his Maisa only is to put the Keteris onto the Machta, but the Avodah is still continuing. The Avodah is not done until it's Nesbala HaBayis Oshon, like the Torah describes. And since the Avodah is not over yet, there's a din that the Kohen has to stay in the Mokam Avodah until the Avodah is complete. Even though he finished his action, his Maisa that has to be done, as long as the Avodah is continuing, he has to stay there in the Mokam of the Avodah. And he brings a similar example, he quotes B'Shem Reb Chaim, the Mishnah at the end of the 6th Perek describes that after the Sar Lazazel was sent away to the Midbar, so there was a system of waving flags in order that the people in the Beis HaMikdash should know when the Sar Lazazel reached the Midbar. And then the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol would go out of the Azara and read the Parsha as it's described in the beginning of the 7th Parak. Now the Rambam in Parak Gimel, Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Halachat Ches, he says, Kivan Shehegiya Sar LaMidbar, Yotza Kohen Gadol LaEzras Noshim. And Reb Chaim was medayik in this Rambam that the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to leave the Azara until the Sar reached the Midbar. Only then, after it reached the Midbar, on this the Gemara says that once it reached the Midbar, it was ready Nasis Mitzvasa, the Mitzvah of Shiluach of the Sar Lazazel was complete, and then Reb Chaim says he was allowed to leave the Azara and go into the Ezras Noshim to read the Parsha. But until the Sar reached the Midbar, it was not considered that this Avodah was complete, the Kohen Gadol had to stay inside the Azara. And the Brisk Rav explains that even though the Kohen Gadol finished his chelik of the Avodah, once he gives over the Sar Lazazel to the one who's going to bring it to the Midbar, so the Kohen Gadol waits, he's not actively involved in bringing the Sar to the Azazel, nevertheless, he has to stay in the Mokum of Avodah until the Avodah gets completed. And here too as well, the Brisk Rav explains that since the Avodah of the Keteris was not complete until it was Nismale Kula Oshon, so even though the Kohen Gadol finished his part, nevertheless, he has to wait and stand in the mokim where the Avodah is done until the Avodah gets completed, and only then can he leave. The rest of the year, once the Kohen is makter the Keteris, so the Avodah is over already, there's no din how long he has to stay, he's able to leave right away. Now, in the Hemshech of the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol left, Yotza Ubalai Derech Knisosai. Rashi explains it means he did not turn around, he didn't turn his back on the Aron, he walked out backwards In other words, the same way he walked in, he walked out. Now, Tosis over here, Dibur Maschol, Yotza Ubalay, he says that even though we find that Bia, Derech Achirov, Loishma Bia, if there's a din that a person has to do a Bia, he has to come into somewhere, then the only way it's considered a Maisa Bia is if he walks in forward. If he walks in backwards, that's not called that he did a Bia. Nevertheless, here, despite the fact that the Torah says a Lashon of Yitziah, Yitziah can be even backwards. Like Tosfos says, Ketalmid HaNiftar Mei Rabbi. We do find sometimes it's normal to walk backwards, like a Talmud who leaves from his Rebbe. And therefore, even though here the Torah says Yitziah, and the Kohen Gadol walked backwards, that's still called he did a Yitziah. And the Gvura Sari adds that according to this we understand very well why the Mishnah and Talmud, which describes how the Kohanim did the Torah throughout the year, there it does not say this Lashon, that when he left, he walked backwards. It doesn't say Yosef Kederech Shenichnas. And even though surely there as well, the din was that he had to walk backwards. The Gemara later on in Daf Nun Gimel says, V'chein Kohanim Ba'avidosam, any Kohen who completes Avidah, and he leaves the Azara, he has to walk backwards. And surely someone who leaves the Heichal, like the Kohen who was Makter the Keteris inside the Heichal, he also has to walk out backwards. Why there don't we find this Lashon, Yotza Kederech Shenichnas? The Grocery says, the Pshat is because that's Poshet, that every time someone left either the Azara or the Heichal, they had to walk backwards. Here the Mishnah is telling us a Chiddush, that even though the Pasuk says a Lashon of Yitziah, and perhaps you could have thought that Yitziah Derech Achayrev is not called the Yitziah, therefore the Mishnah has to tell us, no, that it is a Kiyum of Yitziah, like Tosfos says that Yitziah is different than Bia. Bia Derech Achayrev is not a Bia, but Yitziah Derech Achayrev is a Yitziah. Now we'll just finish off with a nice verse from Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Brice over here says that together with the Aron was also Nigna's other things. One of them was the Makel of Aron, together with its Shkedeha Upracheha, the almonds and the flowers. Now the Tosfos Yeshanim over here points out that usually the Derech is that once the fruit start to grow, so the flowers then fall off. So why is it mentioned over here the Prachim, once already the Shkedim grew, so seemingly there were no longer any Prachim? And he answers, V'nira ki miktas ha-prochem nisharu, shulay gomlu shkedim v'nisharu prochem. Some of the prochem remained, even though some shkedim started to grow already, but there was still some prochem which did not turn into shkedim. And Ramesha says, really the truth is that from the psukim itself, it's muchach like this that there was still prochem, because how else did Klal Yisrael know that there were prochem at all? The pasuk says, V'yotzei perach, v'yotzei tzitz, v'yigmo shkedim, that everyone saw the next morning that Aaron's staff was blossomed with flowers and fruit started to grow. And if when the Shkedim grew, so the flowers were gone already, how did they know the next morning that this is what happened? Maybe the nais was that the almonds grew directly and there was never a stage of prochem. It must be that there was still some prochem remaining on the makel, like we see in our Gemara, that when it was buried, there were both Shkedim and prochem. And Rav Moshe says, what is the pshat in this nais? Why was it like that dafka, that some of the flowers remained and they did not all turn into Shkedim? And Rav Moshe says, this was to teach us an important lesson, that in Avodas Hashem, it's not only the final result that counts. It's not only the peiros in the end that are choshev. The flowers, meaning the tircha, all the hard work and toil that one puts into Avodas Hashem, or one puts into his Limud HaTorah, that also is choshev and that remains. That's not something which ever disappears, just as the matah of Aaron was buried together with the Shkedim and the Prochim. This is what Rav Moshe says in his Sefer Darash Moshe in Parashas Korach.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.